Welcome back to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne Jakes, the marketing coordinator here at Unique Training and Development, and I get to sit down with Kirk Langford.
Hello.
Our general manager. Yes. Hi, Kirk.
Hi,
how's it going today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, really great.
Good.
Today we have a super duper topic for our listeners. We're going to talk about three ways to engage teams for better performance,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are.
Something that all manufacturing supervisors really want to know. But first, what's one of the biggest mistakes that you would say that maybe a frontline supervisor is doing that is actually inadvertently disengaging their team?
Oh, that's a good question. It's funny because right away I think of basically the antithesis or the opposite of the three strategies we're going to share.
Oh,
any
yes.
of those could disengage, right? But I think one of the things we tend to see a fair bit is leaders that aren't empowering their teams, that are trying to do it all themselves out of a feeling of, oh, my team's already stressed, I've got to take on more, or, you know, I got to have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I think those can be really demotivating and cause disengagement because the team wants to be involved. The team wants to help solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't let them be part of that process, we're leaving them out.
Right. No, that's a great tip. So yeah, make sure that you are, asking your team, involving them. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So kick us off, Kirk.
Yeah.
For
first
the frontline leaders, they want to know like three ways. I know I was going to say tip, but it's more like what's the first way that a frontline leader can engage their team for better performance?
So you kind of hinted at it, and I guess my last answer gave it away a little bit, but it's ask for their input and use it whenever possible, right? So when when can they provide input on the work that they do, maybe the barriers that they're currently facing, improvements that could be made in the department or on the team or on the floor, how they could improve performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that, we're a performance-based organization. So we want to train people to do their jobs well so that we can perform well as a company.
Yeah.
Hey, what ideas do you have to help us perform even better? So anything you think that your team can have some interesting insights into, ask them. Now, I'm not saying go to somebody on their first day with a complex problem and say, hey, Suzanne, we believe in empowerment and we believe in, involving the team. How would you fix this problem?
Right.
And then put them on the spot.
That's not what we mean. Yeah.
But what we mean is thinking about in what ways can your team meaningfully contribute suggestions, ideas, insights, or advice, and then ask all the time, hey, does anybody have any suggestions? Hey, how would you guys go about solving this? What ideas are coming to mind? So look for opportunities to ask for your team's input, and then whenever possible, use that input. And that second part, whenever possible, use the input, really is about it's great to ask for input. And keep in mind that as a leader, you don't have to take and put into action every piece of feedback or every idea you get.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be discouraging if you're constantly or regularly asking for input and not ever using it.
Right.
So there's got to be a balance of ask for their input and try to use it whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then be grateful for that. Hey, I just want to thank you for that awesome idea. I wanted to, highlight that strategy you provided us with that really helped us get out of that pickle last week, that idea, that problem we were dealing with. So ask for input and then use it.
Yeah, maybe acknowledge why you might have not used input on something.
Explain
like,
why,
we talked about this.
Yeah. Well,
it's just not going to work.
Yeah, good point. Use that as a training opportunity. So if somebody comes up with an idea, a suggestion that you can't use, try to help them understand why. And don't just say, well, that's a dumb idea. That'll never work.
Mm-hmm.
Say something like, oh, I appreciate that idea. I appreciate that you're coming up with ideas. But given our cost limitations right now, that idea is going to be way over budget if we go ahead with that. Right? Help them understand
that
so that you're also using that opportunity to teach and
Absolutely.
Grow your people.
So how does this practice of asking for input also contribute to empowerment? I know we're talking about better performance and things like that, but how does that line back up with maybe empowerment?
Yeah. I think the way that it connects, Suzanne, is that empowered people are people who feel safe and comfortable and welcome giving suggestions and ideas, solving problems on their own, answering questions that they feel confident answering.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when you ask for their input, it shows the team that you care about their expertise and their experience and their opinions, right? That's what I think anyway that it shows. Versus a leader who never asks and just tells how things are going to go, I think people are less likely then to feel empowered to solve their own problems and answer their own questions. So I think by asking for input, you create a team that is more empowered to go, well, he asks for our input all the time and he often takes our ideas or our suggestions and implements them.
Mm-hmm.
And so why wouldn't we believe that she's going to do it in this case? So I'm just going to go ahead and feel empowered to solve that problem.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for that. It also kind of rolls into our second way as to how to like engage for a better performance is to help your team understand the bigger picture and maybe what winning the day looks like, if you want to elaborate on that.
Sure. Every team has KPIs that they have to answer to. KPIs are metrics, right? So the KPIs are what shows our team that we are doing a good job, that we are working effectively and efficiently. Essentially, what shows our team that we are performing in the way that we're supposed to be performing. And I would challenge leaders to share those KPIs with their team and help the team understand what those KPIs are that they're all striving for, so that it's not just everyone each in their kind of little silo doing their own thing, but it's rather the entire team having a good understanding of when we reach these KPIs, these are good signs. When we're not reaching these KPIs, or when these KPIs are low, we have to sort of work a little bit harder to meet them. So I think your team should be aware of what it takes to what we call win the day, right? What are, again, those KPIs or whatever those metrics are that show we are doing things the right way and are being successful and are performing well, okay? Really, it comes down to, the other piece to it is that it comes down to if you don't share what winning the day looks like, if you don't share what KPIs matter, people will create their own definitions of success. So someone on your team might sort of say, well, I just show up for my 8 hours and, you know, that's good enough for me. And someone else might say, well, as long as we get a minimum number of complaints, that's a win in my books.
Right.
So people are creating their own definitions of winning. And we've probably all seen this. If we think of a family or friend, a family member or friend that we know that is maybe a bit disengaged in work, we can think of like, how engaged are they? What do they talk about with work? You know, how do they kind of view it? And they probably say something to the effect of, hey, I show up to work. What more do you want from me?
Right.
But if you ask them, what is it that shows, or how is it that you know when the team is being successful? Their metrics are usually going to be something like, well, no one's getting yelled at. No one's getting in trouble. You know, I guess there's no accidents. That's probably a good thing to think about. They're not very sort of aspiring KPIs to think about, right? And so getting your team on board with that means that you're all rowing in the same direction. Everybody knows that what does success look like on this team? What does high performance look like on this team? It's meeting these KPIs.
Right.
And if you have the whole team aligned with that, then you will win the day every day. And that's going to help your team feel way more engaged because you're working towards a common goal and you're avoiding, you know, this isolation or siloing that can happen when you each are coming up with your own definition of winning.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, because it can create kind of silos when people are left to, like you said, decide what their own day kind of looks or winning their own day kind of looks like.
Yeah,
so what is an actionable step then? I'm sure there's a few, but what would you say to choose first? If someone was saying, okay, I'm going to make my team better performing by engaging them and helping them understand the bigger picture.
Yeah.
What would be the first step to going about that? Because that is, there's a lot of things that you could start with. Do you have an idea in mind of something that would be a starting point for someone who wants to start explaining the bigger picture?
I would say communicate, right? The first thing is find out, does your team know what winning the day looks like? Does your team what KPIs matter or what metrics you are being measured by, the team and the whole team? And communicate it to them if they don't, right? And probably assume that some of them don't, right? And go ahead and communicate that. So whether it's at a shift start meeting, whether you have to call a separate meeting for this, whether it's, you know, preferably not an email or a text, but it might have to be that depending on how your team is spread out. But share what winning the day looks like, what that vision looks like, so that everybody's on the same page. That would be, well, not, they won't be on the same page right away necessarily, but it's the start. So that's that simple actionable step is share what success looks like, what a high performance team looks like, according to the KPIs or the metrics that you are responsible for.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks for that. So our third way then that a frontline leader can engage their team for better performance is to provide feedback and opportunities, right?
That's exactly right. Provide feedback and opportunities. I think I would put it this way. The last thing a leader should want is a team that isn't progressing or growing. And the last thing an employee should want is a leader who doesn't invest in their development and growth.
True.
So there should be opportunities for feedback, opportunities for growth, opportunities for development, chances to say, hey, I think you're doing a great job and I think you could do it even better. And here's how. Or how can I help you be a better employee? How could I help you do your job better? What obstacles or barriers can I remove? Hey, I've got some feedback I want to share about how things are going. when you invest time and energy into somebody, that means you care, right? Yes. And when and people see that you care about them, people see that you are investing time and energy into them. Mm-hmm. I think we tend to see feedback as a very negative thing. Oh, I'm gonna critique you. I'm gonna point out what you're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And so we tend to get feedback. It's a very bad rap.
Performance reviews.
Yeah, give feedback if they're really butchering something. Otherwise, don't try to avoid it because people don't like it. I think people dislike feedback that is disingenuous. I think people dislike feedback that feels unwarranted. And I think people dislike feedback that doesn't feel like I've got your back and I'm actually doing this to help you. But if you can be constructive and specific and helpful and focus on the behaviors that they could do better or the things they could do better, then I think people actually appreciate feedback. The other thing is, I think if you create a culture of feedback in your organization, so you're consistently giving feedback, people start to know that this is just the norm and not to take it personally when the leader helps you do something better. This is just their way of showing that they want to continue to be a high-performing organization or get to being a high-performing organization. So I think it creates a nice level of engagement when you have a leader that wants to invest time and energy into the employee's growth and development. And from the employee's point of view, they see they have a leader who cares about that.
Absolutely. As opposed to being in what I've heard you and Greg both say before, like a vacuum, right?
A vacuum of feedback. And nothing.
They don't even hear anything, which then people just assume they're doing a good job. And then when you do bring up something that maybe you've noticed over time, they're taken off guard.
That's right.
Oh my goodness, like I didn't know that, and it's a shock. So I really do like the idea of creating a culture of feedback because it's super important.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Besides, formal performance reviews and things like that, if you had a way to suggest a practical, like, day-to-day feedback, right? Because a lot of this does take time, right?
So to say,
hey, Johnny, come in, sit down, let's talk, do you have like a quick way that people can provide feedback, practical for a frontline supervisor to get out there and engage with their teams?
Yes, we have a method we didn't create it, but we use it called the beer method. People like to remember it because it's got beer in it, right? So it's
a very
memorable name. But the beer method basically is a way of giving in the moment feedback.
Right.
And it focuses on, the word beer is an acronym, right? So it's behavior, effect, expectation, and result. So what's the behavior that's kind of problematic at the moment or is that we don't want to see? So what's the behavior? What's the effect of that currently kind of negative behavior? What's the new expectation? What's the better behavior we want to see, right? So what's the expectation moving forward? And what will be the result of that new behavior on the team, on the department, or on the individual? So behavior, the effect of that behavior, the expectation for what we want to see moving forward, and the result of that better behavior, that better way of doing things.
And that's just like a quick couple
in the moment,
sentence
pull someone
in
aside,
the moment,
here you go.
On the line, kind of.
It's not a formal sit-down meeting like this. It's quite actually
here's what you're doing.
Fast and informal. Hey,
how that's putting barriers.
I noticed that you were a few minutes late for your break, and that's causing a backup in our break, so not everybody's getting their break. So moving forward, I'd like you to come back from your break on time so that everybody gets to take their scheduled break.
Yeah, love that.
There you go. Yeah.
Quick, simple, easy.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down. Well, I say thank you all the time, but...
Hey, gratitude is an attitude. It's good to show gratitude, Suze. It's all good.
They're always fun to sit down and have conversations with
likewise.
You on Leader Feeder. I hope our leaders are getting a lot out of these conversations. And if we can be of any help, you can always get a hold of us at uniquedevelopment.com. We're always here to have a conversation with how we can help your organization. Be better, perform better, engage with their teams.
That's right.
So until next time, we will say goodbye for now.